So, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about this whole idea of the grace effect, which is pretty simple, but it's really difficult to watch how it comes out in our life in so many different ways. So, because in grace, in receiving God's grace, we are getting what we don't deserve. That Jesus took our place, and we are getting all these things that we don't deserve. So, in turn, we should be giving others what they don't deserve. And we've talked about lots of different topics along the way in this whole idea of how grace should go through me. God's grace should go through me into the people in my life. And so maybe we'll all really connect this morning, I hope, as we talk about this idea of serving. And I want us just to start by just saying, this is not at the end of the service going to be, okay, we need lots of volunteers and y'all better sign up, okay? I just want you to understand that. That's too often we've taken something that's really important to understand, and we've just tied it to, we got to have this in the church. And I think we do that with giving, and we do that with serving sometimes. So instead of just understanding this whole idea of how important it is that as God's grace comes through me, it should show itself in serving one another. In fact, do you know that is the whole reason Jesus came? That Jesus came not to just play the God card. So in other words, Jesus and his disciples show up to a restaurant, it's packed, and he says, oh, by the way, I'm God, I want the best table, okay? He never did that. In fact, what Mark records for us is amazing, that Jesus made this statement, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Isn't that amazing? That he did, at no point did he decide, according to Paul in Philippians, say, I just need to make sure you are all serving me. I am God, okay? I am God in a body, so make sure you serve me. He instead chose to serve and make his life all about serving. So if our Savior did that for us, shouldn't we be willing to do that for each other? And I think as we start, one of the simplest ways to think about serving somebody else is entering the chaos in order to serve, okay? What Jesus did was he entered our chaos instead of just saying, boy, this world's a mess. I think I'll just destroy the whole thing and start over. He actually enters the chaos in order to serve, in order then to lay down his life. Now, I don't know if this ever happened to you, where somebody has entered a moment of your life that things are a little chaotic and they have served you. See, we experienced this past year when my mom passed away, that many of you came over and helped because now we got an apartment to deal with. Now, some of you are like, an apartment? You know, I got a house full of stuff, I got closets, okay? My mom was the type of person that kept everything. Okay, I don't know if you have people in your life that do that, okay? They like to keep everything. And here's my illustration, okay? So we're sitting there one day and going through things, and I think Karen was there helping us go through things. And I'm going through this desk, and I pull this out, and I'm looking at it, and I'm reading it and going, oh my goodness, okay? Oh my goodness, okay? Now, most of us, we don't deal with this anymore. This is like what you call a canceled check, okay? Some of you are like, what's that, okay? Yeah, it's you going to a museum, right, okay? I pull this out and I'm reading it. You know what this is? This was the payment for when I was born, okay? Now, I'm sitting here, okay, you gotta understand, the last few months I'm sitting here going, okay, why did they keep this, okay? Here's my explanation, okay? I was such a bad kid. And it didn't happen that I remember. But I could see my mom pulling this out, go, do you know how much you cost me? Okay? Do you know how much you cost me? Okay? So I could see that happen. I never did happen. Now the question should be, right? And why do you still have this? Okay? Some of you are like, right? Why do you still have this? Because, can we just be honest? We end up like our parents, as much as we resist, right? As much as we, okay, this is like in a book, you know, took just a notebook, put pages in it, stick it in, okay? So my whole row of teenagers up here, I love you, okay? You are looking at your parents right now going, oh my goodness, they're crazy, okay? I'm never going to be like them. And someday you'll be holding a check and you'll be just like them. That's what happens, okay? That is just what happens. Jesus enters our chaos in order to serve. And sometimes the best thing we can do for somebody else is enter their chaos and serve them. And let's just be honest. We don't want people around when things are chaotic. We've built too much of an image that we got it all together and we got it made and we show up every Sunday at church and we look good and everything is right and, you know, we pretend that nothing bad happened that morning, okay? And we just show up and we have it all together. So to allow somebody to enter our chaos, that's really scary. We're worried that could be really embarrassing. Oh my goodness, they're gonna find out that things in my home aren't very perfect, okay? They're gonna hear a lot of yelling, okay? They're gonna see a lot of things that aren't together. And so we don't let people at times. We push people away and we don't let them enter our chaos when that is one of the greatest ways you can serve somebody else, is walk into the most messiest, ugliest, stressful time of their life and just say, what can I do to help you? I'm just here, you just tell me. What can I do to help you? And I'm telling you, unless you experience that, it's really hard to do that for somebody else. But Jesus did this. He entered our chaos in order to serve us. John put it this way. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He became human, made his home among us. He entered the chaos of our world in order to come and to serve us. And what I want you to know this morning, so that I can help us just understand this whole idea of serving, is that Jesus values serving others. So much so that there's this incredible passage, and sometimes we just don't sit on it, I think, enough, just to take in everything that Jesus is saying. It's found in Matthew chapter 25. If you're used to doing YouVersion on your phone, you can go to the events, all the verses are listed there, or you can turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be in verses 31 through 40, because Jesus tells this kind of a parable, kind of not, just kind of his idea, you know, his speaking about what it's going to be like at the end, okay, when there needs to be some separation of people who said they served God, okay, said they had a relationship with him, and people who don't have a relationship with it. Some who said they did and actually do, and those that actually don't. There has to be this kind of separation, right? Because you can play a game and you can fool me. You can fool the person sitting next to you. The person you can never fool is our Heavenly Father, okay? He knows why you do what you do. So there's this incredible passage. There's this incredible statement that Matthew records for us in Matthew chapter 25. He records for us this, what Jesus said. He said it in a certain area called the Mount of Olives. So if you Google this and look it up, it's called the Olivet Discourse, okay? Because we got to give fancy names to things. But Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and he was talking to his disciples, and here's what he said. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, so he's obviously talking about when he comes again, and comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Okay? He will place the sheep at his right and the goats on his left hand. Okay? So this is a picture. Okay? Now, I'm pretty confident nobody did this week. This wasn't your job, okay? In your office setting, someone didn't come to you, and your boss didn't say, hey, I need you to separate the sheep and goats, okay? We just don't do this, so it's hard for us sometimes when we're reading scripture to go, I have no idea what they're talking about, okay? Who did this week, right? Who did this recently? But in Jesus' day, everybody knew what he was talking about. Everybody had seen this happen. Everybody had seen this take place. And you separated them because they had two total different mindsets, okay? And you didn't want them mixed. Because goats tend to be very independent. Sheep would follow one another right off a cliff, okay? They just do that, okay? One sheep after another off a cliff, okay? Till the whole herd is down there dead, okay? That's what they do. That's the way sheep are. So you would separate them so that you wouldn't get those two mixed up, okay? So this is what he's talking about. And they're like, oh, yeah. I did that as a kid, or my neighbor does that. I've seen them separate sheep from goats. We're not used to that, but this is the picture that Jesus uses, that there's this kind of separation going through things, putting things on the right and the left. The distinction of what he makes between putting people in those two categories has everything to do with serving. Okay? Has everything to do with serving. This is what we've talked about before, that when you're reading through the Old Testament, everything was about this vertical morality, okay? I just got to be right with God. I just got to be right with God. And I figured that out on my own, and I follow his commandments, and everything is about being right with God. And then Jesus comes and goes, just so you understand, you cannot be right with God if you are not right with each other. Okay? He just totally adds to it. That's why. When they came to him and said, and he said, what is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The way you show you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus takes that picture and he puts it in here to say, this is the distinction. This is what shows that you are my followers. This is what shows that you follow me, is what you do. Do you love your neighbor as yourself because you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And this is what he says. Then the king will say to those, remember, he's the king, he's sitting on the throne, he's separating people out, will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For, okay, why do we get to do this? How are you separating? How are you figuring out? For, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. Remember that a few weeks ago, that's hospitality. That's what that actually means. That you invite strangers in. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me, right? And they're all going, what are you talking about? Then those on the right will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? In fact, we're pretty sure we were there the day that you took that little boy's lunch with 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and you fed everybody. So I don't remember the day we fed you, okay? I don't remember the day that we saw you thirsty and we gave you something to drink. I don't remember that day. He says that's what they'll say. We don't remember you being a stranger and show you hospitality or naked and give you clothing. Pretty sure we would have remembered that, okay? We don't remember that. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? Pretty certain, Jesus, we'd remember if you were in prison, okay? Well, we just showed up, we would have been there. We probably would have been there with you. We're your followers, right? And they're going, we don't understand. We've never seen you in any of those conditions. So how on earth did you say, that was me? And look what he says. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Now, this is a powerful statement. This is a really, really powerful statement that Jesus makes at the end. By the way, when you did it for remember, when you did it for that person over there, that's like doing it for me. There's this whole big idea that we just kind of gloss over at times and run past, that serving people in Jesus' name is like serving Jesus himself. When you enter somebody else's chaos, and you are there for them, and you connect with them, and you help them out, you are doing it as if they are Jesus himself. And you are entering their chaos just like Jesus entered our chaos. Jesus says, when you do that, it's like you're doing it to me. Do you understand? When you greet somebody at the door, okay, and you welcome them to our church, okay, what if we treated everybody like it was Jesus? I guarantee you it would be different. We might all be different greeters, right? Because we'd be like, wow, that's important. If Jesus walked through this door, that's a big deal. What if we treated everybody that way? Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He is totally changing the mindsets of serving. He is totally changing it so that every serving opportunity is an opportunity to actually serve Jesus himself. That means for those of you who have or are going to Belize, that when you go down there and you help in all sorts of different areas, whether construction-wise or otherwise, you are doing it as you are doing it for Jesus. That is a simple principle. When you do it here in your everyday life and you serve somebody else, you are doing it as if that person were Jesus himself, and you would absolutely sign up to serve Jesus. Okay? We wouldn't have a problem if it was sign-up day to serve Jesus. Okay? We wouldn't. Everybody be there. I'm there. Forget everything else. I'll be there. But we forget that Jesus looks at all the opportunities we have to serve somebody else and says, do you realize when you're doing that, it is like you are serving me. Because serving does a few things that I think are important for us as followers of Jesus to remember, especially in a world that at times forgets these things. And so let me just hit a couple of these with you this morning so that we understand together how powerful it is when we serve somebody else and what that actually communicates and what that actually does. Serving people in Jesus' name is like serving Jesus himself. So what does that look like? When you serve, do you know what serving does? Serving reveals dignity. Do you realize everyone you come across, every single person you come across is made in the image of God? Okay? Doesn't matter if they're on their worst day. Doesn't matter how old they are. That every single person is made in the image of God, and therefore they have dignity. And we forget this. We forget this. And I think it's important for us to kind of go back to the beginnings of our faith after the resurrection when the early church got this and the early church did things that were amazing. Okay? Were absolutely amazing. Do you know in the Roman world, and you can read about this in, you don't have to open the Bible, you can read all sorts of history that talks about this. In the Roman world, when a child was born, I mean, you can imagine this scene in a hospital, okay? When the child is born, the father has a decision to make. And you know what that decision is? Do I keep the baby or do I get rid of the baby? Kid you not, that's a decision you have to make in that moment. And if you decided, for whatever reason, okay, I wanted a boy, and I got a girl, I want a boy, whatever it is, okay? Whatever it was in that moment, you decide, do I keep the baby or get rid of the baby? It was legal to get rid of the baby. And you know how you would do that? It was called exposure, okay? You would take the baby somewhere, and they had designated areas for this, okay? You take the baby to a certain area, and if the baby survives all by itself, well, that's just the fate of the gods. Now, how would a baby survive all by itself, right? That was totally legal. That was totally a part of their culture. And you know what the early Christians did? They didn't sit around and go, boy, that's terrible. Maybe we should picket somebody. Maybe we should, right? You know what they did? They went to those places. Okay? The only reason we know of the term orphanages is because of Christianity. Because that's what Christians used to do. Hey, serving people in Jesus' name is like serving Jesus himself. The least of these, that's that baby left just to die. And they would actually go and hang around the places where babies were left just to exposure. And they would hang out in those places, and they would take those children in, and they would adopt them, and they'd love them, and they'd care for them, because that's what Jesus would do for the least of these. That's what they did. It was absolutely amazing. And what it did was it revealed dignity. It took a culture that said, hey, if you don't want your baby, it's not a big deal, and said, oh, no, that baby has dignity. Do you understand? There is no dignity for women in the first century world until Jesus shows up and gives women dignity. There is none. And then Jesus just elevates the status of women. Women followed him. Women are all over the gospel accounts. Why is that? Because Jesus changed it and said, what are we doing? You got this all wrong. We got a whole group of people you have not given dignity to. And then, as the early church wrestled with the gospel going to Gentiles, and the Jewish people are like, do you not understand? Peter, 15 years after the resurrection, had never been into the house of a Gentile. Because you just didn't do that, okay? And him getting past that, and Jesus working through him and saying, no, reveals dignity. It says, everybody's the same, God is placed everybody in his image, and we ought to not have categories, but everybody should have dignity. That's what serving does. When you serve the least of these, that gives that group dignity. That says that group matters. That group's been overlooked. That group's been just ignored, but not in Jesus' world. Jesus' world for Jesus' followers. No group gets overlooked. No group gets cast aside. Because serving people in Jesus' name is like serving him himself, and serving reveals dignity. Serving also includes people who get left out. Same concept. Leaving people out is not the way of Jesus. Just so we understand that. In a culture that constantly wrestles with labels and groups and, you know, people getting left out, that isn't the way of Jesus. There is no leaving people out. There is none, okay? It's just not a part of how it's supposed to work. Nobody gets left out as far as serving the gospel, all of it. Jesus' invitation is for everyone who would come and find him as their Savior. And so it just begins to include people. When you begin to serve them, it includes them. It includes all the people who've gotten left out. And let's just be honest, a lot of times it's because groups who call themselves Christian misinterpret sections of scripture and leave people out. And we're not supposed to leave people out. And when you serve, it reminds everybody that they are included and they are loved by Jesus and they have the same opportunity to come and find salvation in him. And the last thing I want you to know that serving does is that serving changes stories. Serving changes stories. That serving somebody changes their story because they were served. They were helped out in their hardest, most difficult moments. And when you do that, that changes their story. They were going in one direction. They had no idea what was going to happen to them, but somebody stepped in and served them and stepped into their chaos at the moment they needed it. And God did something amazing in them, and their story is changed because of it. And serving does something amazing. It changes the story of the one being served and the one serving at the same time. Both stories are changed. Both stories are changed. Okay? When you go and serve somebody else, their story is changed, and your story is changed. You're not the same person anymore. You've had the opportunity to serve somebody else. You've had the opportunity to step into somebody else's chaos. And because of that, you changed their story and you changed your own story. Because serving does something to us. It just reminds us of so many things. It just reminds us, I believe, that my goodness, this is what Jesus did for me. This is what Jesus did for me. He showed up in this broken, messed up world and served me in the best possible way he could serve me by laying down his life for me. Walking out of the grave 3 days later, changing everything. And because of the way Jesus serves, our story is forever changed. So what if we just went about seeing that others, their story is changed? And in the same way, we realize, oh my goodness, while their story is being changed, God's changing our story. And he's changing our heart, and he's changing the direction of our life because we are simply willing to serve somebody else. So here's my challenge for you this week. What can you do this week to serve somebody else? Yeah, not asking you to sign a card and you know, okay, Which age group do I got to work with the kids? Okay, I know I'm feeling guilt. None of that. Because I want you to think about where you can serve somebody else. And that might have nothing to do with anything inside the walls of this church. It might have to do when you get to work tomorrow and you find out what's going on in one of your coworkers' lives and there's something you can do to step into their chaos and serve them. And serving them will absolutely change their story. It will change your story. What would it look like if you actually did that? So I want you to just think about it inside these walls. Now, I am so incredibly grateful for all of you who serve. I'm incredibly grateful for all of you who serve. I think it's something you should find, you know, the people every week, okay? Whether Jolena's leading us or this morning Cheyenne leads us, we're so incredibly blessed. And everybody else who's up here playing instruments and singing, you should find them every week and say thank you, okay? You should, because they're taking time in order to serve us, okay? For those of you who work on Wednesday nights and you're working with different age groups and you're like, I don't know how I got roped into this. Man, Brian's a good recruiter. I don't know how I got talked into this, okay? That's what you're thinking, okay? And your story is going to be changed. And the kids you are serving, their story is going to be changed. And sometimes we just need reminding of that. Hey, God is doing things behind the scenes to change stories. And in changing someone else's story, he's going to change our own story. So I just want you to be open this week. I just want to be open this week to where God might give you an opportunity to serve someone else and to step into their chaos. and step into what's going on in their life and just be there and say, okay, what can I do to help? I'm here, whatever you need, here, how can I help you? What can I do for you? And watch what God might do. Serving is so important because when we serve others, it reminds us of Jesus who served us first. He served us first. He served us best. And every person we serve is our opportunity to serve Jesus himself. What an incredible opportunity. And what would it look like, by the way, if we just did that? We just got that piece right as followers of Jesus. Just got that piece right. Okay, we're going to figure this out. We're just going to serve somebody else. What would it look like if we just got that piece right? Because I'm telling you, there's lots of other people in our culture who are serving other groups who aren't doing it because they're doing it for Jesus. They're doing it because of how it makes them feel. Wow, that made me feel really good helping that person out. And I watch these things, and I'm like, man, they're not even doing it because Jesus has served them. They have no idea who Jesus is. And here we are, we know who Jesus is, and he has served us. And every opportunity we have to serve is to serve him, and we just miss out. Oh, we're too busy. We got too much going on. I don't have time to step in anybody's chaos. Okay, and we just miss out on those opportunities. So let's just ask God to open our eyes, to show us the opportunities we have this week, at work, at school, at home, in our neighborhoods, to serve somebody else. And as we're serving, we're realizing we're serving Jesus himself, and it reminds us of the Jesus who served us first. So let me pray for us this morning, asking God to open our eyes and help us have these hearts that are just open and ready to serve someone else in need around us.